Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very, very special watch-through commentary of the 2010 BBC4 Dirt Gently TV pilot. My name is Ed, otherwise known as Edward. I'm joined by my good friend Nemo and Louis, otherwise known as Vogon Poet. So it's great to be with you guys. This is a show I've got big, big nostalgic memories of because I watched it when it first broadcast back, literally just after we moved house in the sort of really cold conservatory. And the reason it was cold is because I accidentally jammed the door open when I went outside to play in the snow because I was like 15 or something. But anyway, Dad's still not forgiving me for that. But
That's a better reason for it to be cold than your arms being too long.
Oh, that's very true. Oh, don't remind me about the most recent Doctor Who episode that literally aired last night. But anyway, just before we start, very, very quickly, I know, Nima, you watched this with me before, but Louis, I'm not sure if you've seen this before.
Oh, and it's great to meet you. I've seen, like, the whole series, I think, twice, so I'm excited to see it again.
Yes, exactly. And if I'm honest, this is the rough one of the four.
Yeah.
It's a pilot for a reason, but it does have its charm, and there's some good moments in there. I've written some notes. Without further ado, let's get going in 3, 2, 1. All right, there we go. The tea is being spilled.
Milk poured after, though, Douglas would be aghast.
Are based on an almost unswerving belief in the fundamental
So first thing I want to talk about, guys, as we hear that familiar monologue from the book being repeated here, is general thoughts on this. Because one of the things I've always heard is the BBC4 series, especially this episode, is too faithful to the original novel, where, especially since the BBC America show came out. It's not what people were saying at the time, of course. And I don't know, I think there's certain decisions that I think maybe make people think that way. Lots of repeated dialogue. There's a scene coming up immediately after this with Richard breaking into his Susan's house, which is very much from the book. And but I wonder what you guys think about that in general.
I think they did like some weird changes. They try to do their own spin on the first book, but why did they do some of the weirder changes later? I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because obviously they're trying to cram it into an hour, aren't they, Louis? So,
oh yeah, it's more like, why are Susan and Gordon now dating? That was so weird to me.
That is a good point, actually, and I do want to get into that because it's a kind of weird thing where in the book they're brother and sister, and here they're kind of Susan is Susan Harmison, so she's not related to him in the first place. So, it's definitely very weird, and it feels a lot like. This is the sort of thing design, and there we go, there's Henry the cat. That's a nice little bait and switch where you think Henry's a person and then it's actually a cat. So I like some of the little things here. I don't think the direction is all great in this. Like I said, there's a few rough bits in there, but there's some nice clever little things where the script lines up well with the direction.
My memory of watching it is I felt that they'd taken lots of plot elements as individual unique things from the novels and then just mashed them up into a brand new story in different order with different emphasis and different reasons for things. But so it had this really weird uncanny valley almost to it. So I'm going to be watching and seeing if I still get that impression.
Okay. He doesn't do this in the book. He doesn't beg him to pick up the phone. He literally just picks it up without any prompting, which is quite funny.
Rule one of housebreaking. Never answer the phone when you're in the middle of a job.
Yeah, like, I think the only thing, like you were saying, Nemo, the thing is a lot of the context of... Because the reason Richard breaks into Susan's house in the book is because, spoilers, there's a ghost trying to possess him, and it's not something he would normally do, because obviously it's a high-rise flat in the book. But here, that context is gone, so it's... Richard comes off, I gotta be honest in this, especially at the beginning here, as a much less likable character than he is in the novel. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, take issue with as well. And it does kind of make me wonder as well, maybe if Richard was necessarily the right choice. From a perspective of watching this and then, reading the book, it's like, oh, well, here's Richard quite early on. And so that sort of makes sense to me, but in the sense of, is he the right character to be the sort of everyman sort of assistant partner to Dirk? I'm not sure he's necessarily the first person I'd pick, because he's got a very, very distinctive personality in that book. He's a, you know, a computer programmer, he's quite intelligent, and here they sort of have to nerf his intelligence quite a lot.
Yeah, they've grabbed the name and otherwise ignored the character.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird seeing him say these mean things about Susan, because he's so nice and sweet in the book. It's so odd.
Yeah. You know, if Susan didn't do a certain thing later on, I would feel a lot more sorry for her after the way Richard treats her in this. Because Richard is just... I think Susan has a line later on that says, oh, I think he blames me for losing his job. And there's a sort of thing going on where they try and tie in the financial crisis that was going on at the time. Dirk sort of directly talks about the subprime mortgage crisis in the US and how that's effectively had a knock-on effect that caused Richard to lose his job. And it's an interesting thing that I hadn't really strung together the last time I watched this, but this is also funny as well, because I like the dialogue where Dirk's like, oh, where do you think Henry the Cat might be? And Richard's like, have you tried the warehouse? And Dirk's like, oh, that's a good point, I'll go check the warehouse. And Richard just decides to tag along. There's no sort of, do you want to come along with me moment. He just randomly decides he wants to be part of this adventure now, even though he's incredibly reluctant.
It gets the plot moving, so I can...
Oh yeah, Richard is just vibing in this series. Like, a lot of the time you cannot understand why he's following Dirk. I guess he's bored because he doesn't have a job.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I think also Dirk's offered to help him with the laptop, because he gives him the card and he says, oh, let me know if I can help you out with that.
Also, I love the shitty CGI.
And now we get to the warehouse with the conspicuous clues here. They do a good job actually of building the atmosphere here, but the special effect that's coming up is incredibly unconvincing.
It's so funny. I love it. It's so bad.
Yeah, that is part of the charm. My dad always talks about 1981 Hitchhikers and sort of the low budget Zaphod second head. It's all sort of part of the charm. And for me, I sort of feel similar way about the BBC Four show. That sort of it's made for peanuts, and sort of stuff like what we're about to get here when this computer goes up is hilarious. And there's also a really subtle joke that I didn't notice before. Oh, he's done it now. Violation.
Operating station will explode in 20 seconds.
She just said this place will explode.
Just love how Steve Mangs is not plussed by this at all until he sees what's in the cabinet here.
His acting is so good.
And those aren't explosives. I'm pretty sure they just say load of numbers on them.
Here we go.
Ultimate green screen, David. Look at those flames as well on Gordon's shitty car in the
so
background.
Bad. I really love it.
Oh. Well, it certainly starts with a bang, doesn't it? And we're also going to get the intro sequence, and this is probably a good opportunity to talk about the soundtrack of this, which I really love, by Daniel Pemberton, because I think the BBC America show Christabel Tapia DeVere gets a lot of the love. But I think Daniel Pemberton, who, you know, who's gone on to be really successful, scored all the Spider-Verse movies, and among other things. It's really insane that he got his start on, like, little shows like The Hurt Gently as well. Here we go.
I love this song.
It's just good to have to resist the urge to sing along with it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think the people who made this title sequence, they put a video up on YouTube that uses a demo track of Danny Pemberton's theme as well, and this is all just done in After Effects as well, which is really cool, which is something that I've used too. And obviously this is filled with loads and loads of references, like I'm pretty sure the I Ching calculator is mentioned there, and then we've got the most least convincing fire truck in the world in the background here.
Local residents raised the alarm as they heard a large explosion
cracked up on crack and smack
by electronics entrepreneur Gordon Way.
One thing I find about the characters in this version is, it feels like they were made into, like, more of assholes than they were in the original book. Like, Richard and Susan, they're pretty nice characters in the book, but they're just, like, worse people here.
A little bit, well... Oh, here we go. Richard's going to be a real dick here, I think. But,
don't just ask.
I don't care that you haven't got a job. I don't care that you sit at home all day watching TV. I don't even care that you've stopped taking regular showers.
Wow, and that's the detail that makes Richard the most relatable character here. But it's interesting, a thing about British TV versus Americans is that they're not afraid to make your main characters just kind of unlikable. And I suppose what they're going for, like I said, is they want to give Richard a sort of arc where he starts off and he's kind of given up, and Dirk ends up, in a weird way, forcing him into having a purpose and growing a bit of a backbone. But it's not. I think the execution leaves a little bit to be desired, because I think maybe they go a little bit too far in direction of making Richard just way too unlikable here, to the point that even Susan, who we discover has some interesting tactics at work... It's kind of more likable than him.
Yeah, for the
even Dirk actually somehow is the most likable character in this whole episode, in my opinion, despite the fact that he's the least trustworthy and the most manipulative. Oh, more great special effects here.
They do write him well for making him the fun driver of the plot, which is something that was missing in the first Dirk Gently novel.
That's absolutely true. Actually, he's a much more active character. Here we're going to get our Janice cameo here. I feel a bit sorry for Lisa Jackson, because she's sort of doesn't get to do a whole lot here. But we're about to get posh Janice, which quickly goes away in the full series as well.
Looking for Dirk. Is he in?
He might be. Then again, he might not be. Until he pays my wages, his whereabouts are no longer my concern. But give him this.
This looks like a well-rehearsed routine for Janice. I had the feeling she's done that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of post-it notes we see on the floor here. I imagine they all just say variations of "I resign" on them.
Did my assistant offer you tea?
There's Eagle in the background as well from Tea Time. There, as he enters. And this is the...
Oh, I miss that.
This is also the... bit where another bit mentioning Daniel Pemberton, the whole of Dirk's office here, with it being as messy and cluttered as possible, is based on Daniel Pemberton's own office where he does all his soundtrack. I believe it's still messy. Apparently the reason is he just never has time to clean up in between doing projects, which and again, very relatable.
I can sympathize with that.
I know, the office design is very good.
Oh no, he's painting over all the references to the book. And it's weird though, because it lists like the cult Regina as being in 2010. So the implication seems to be that Dirk has solved the case of the first book without Richard, which is incredibly odd to think about. Was there some kind of Richard proxy that did everything that Richard did in the book? Like, I don't know, Matthew Winkworth, let's call him.
No doubt you're still clinging to the misguided belief, but it was all just a coincidence.
Well, it was, wasn't it?
And yet, here you sit with Miss Harmison's laptop computer tucked under your arm, which no doubt means you require my assistance in hacking into her email account.
Come with me. That's very well deduced from Dirk.
Exactly. I also love also this moment where he has to undress him for him, because Dirk has clearly got a boiler suit there that's way too tight.
I only came back to make sure you notice me when I finally leave for good.
This is all we're going to get to see of Janice, by the way. I never figured out what was on that photo on Janice's desk. I think it's a pet or something that she puts it in the bag and then takes it out. I think it's her dog's, which is a nice little detail that never gets followed up on.
Just part of the world building.
Oh yeah, the fridge. I'd forgotten about that.
My cleaner has padlocked the fridge in my flat. We are engaged in a standoff from which neither of us is prepared to back down. It is the Cold War writ small.
And that's our second novel reference.
And again, that's all we hear of that plot until the cleaner episode.
Oh my god.
Ah, this is classic. This is the same car you drove at Good old Austin Leyland princess. A loyal and get ready for Google image montage.
Whoa! That's very funny.
It's taken me to all these Google images, Richard. And it's clearly from the same angle here as that profile shot of the car as well.
You find all good detectives drive classic cars.
What Sean Austin Leyland Princess quite counts as a classic.
So the interesting thing here about the Princess is it's basically, it's a little bit of a piss take of Inspector Morse, because he drives like an old Mark II Jaguar from the 60s, and the show was made in like late 80s. But and lots of detective shows did the same thing in the UK, where they just drive a classic car just for nostalgia reasons rather than because it's a great car necessarily. So that's why it's so unreliable. But also Howard Overman's dad, apparently, who's the writer, of course, he owned Austin Leyland Princess. And apparently there's a line that Richard says about the gears being like changing gears like playing Russian roulette, and that's apparently something that Howard Overman's dad would joke about often while driving the car. And Howard Overman always saw it as a sign that his dad was broke, which is probably true, definitely true for Dirk in this.
The release of the gas, rendering the cat unconscious.
Not even ethical?
Some would say not. Anyhow, on one occasion...
I've just noticed, by the way, you can actually see the school they're going to at the other end of this bridge as well. Which I never noticed before.
It's very interesting to see the little references and knowledge to, like, British culture and British stuff that was happening at the time in this show, and have it be pointed out by someone who actually lives there. Because I'm, like, a complete outsider in this, so I don't get a lot of the references.
Yeah, some of them are a little bit harder to spot than others. The other thing as well is that they make out that this episode, that Dirk's office is in London, but this is all shot in Bristol, in like the south of England. And you can tell with some of the locations that are sort of doubling for the posh bits of Bristol that have been redeveloped, they're doubling for London. Oh, here we go. Dirk doing deals with children, which is... 10-year-old. This is something he does in the book as well, actually. He goes to a kid and he gives him the answer about, of course he would need a bleeding time machine, wouldn't he? So I like how they've sort of done a twist on that. Here we go, 200 of your cheapest cigarettes. Not to smoke, of course, because unlike the books, Dirk doesn't smoke in this, but it's we'll see exactly what that's for.
I seem to have left my wallet at the office. We'll offset the cost against your account.
How much is this actually? That's very Dirk, just scamming the scamming costs from others. From ending in a black sea
of acrimony and despair. There we go. First example of Dirk. Oh, I love the gulp that Darren Boyd does there. That's an amazing piece of acting. And but that's the first example of the manipulation that Dirk does in this episode. Notice how whenever Richard is asked by Dirk to do something he doesn't want to do, he denies. He says, "I'm not going to do it." And then Dirk says, "Well, if you don't, then your relationship with Susan is over, basically. So you have to do it." Oh, that's such great special effects. Let's zoom in on it in the flashback.
It was not, in fact, inside the warehouse when it exploded. You think we should talk to the police? As any Irishman will tell you, when things start exploding, it's best to avoid the police at all costs.
Nice little reference to the Troubles there.
If Star Trek is to be believed, Ireland will reunify next year.
Oh, interesting.
You'll find your girlfriend's email account is already open.
Excellent work.
There we go, Dirk the drug dealer.
Some pleasures, Macduff, delete it will.
She hasn't read it.
Look at some of these emails, by the way. I should return to my office at the bottom. Prepare your invoice. Email from Gordon Allison, this will make you laugh. I'd love to know what that's about.
Why is Gordon Way emailing Susan? Presumably it's for the same reason that the missing billionaire owns a warehouse next door but 1-2.
By the way, just like the news report we saw earlier, nobody's email provider looks at all like that. It's a completely made up one. Unless you live in like the 90s, I guess. Gordon Way's
disappearance, these are all part of... Yeah, there'll be not a set designer, I guess, but some prop designer that got to sit down and craft the emails and choose what other email addresses, subject lines and whatnot would be in the all the on-screen scenes. That would be an interesting job.
Well, I'm not sure I want to get involved in all
you
this.
You are already involved, Macduff, and to a greater degree than you can.
I do wonder why I do have this conversation just next to the fence, because I imagine if I was a teacher and these two weird guys looking at a laptop in front of my school, I'd tell them to bugger off.
They look so shady.
It is not the best look.
2010 was a different time. Oh, horse discovered in college bathroom. There we go. Another nice little reference.
Web of interconnected events.
Don't be ridiculous, Macduff. I'm going to phone Directory Inquiries.
Yeah, because why use the method where you can just get the yellow pages out and figure out where the business is? Here we go. Best scene in the episode for my money.
Curious that both Gordon Way and Henry the Cat disappeared on the same day.
Also, another reference on the back of the newspaper. Can you trust his hypnosis? For some reason, that's the headline of the sports pages, which I find very interesting.
Sexual proclivities, feline or otherwise. Let us hope Dr. Gerstenberger can shed some light on the matter.
By the way, look at Gerstenberger's door here. He's got all the right qualifications, BSc, MBPS, so he's a member of the British Psychological Society. So it makes me feel really bad for what happens to him when Dirk comes back. Please keep off the grass in the bottom right corner as well, which explains why there's so few extras in this scene.
You need to lie on the grass.
What?
Right here, place yourself on the grass, like this.
This reminds me a lot, by the way, of Hitchhikers with Arthur lying in front of the bulldozer and Ford doing the deal for Mr. Prosser to lie in Arthur's place while they nip off to the pub. There's a funny little parallel there. And the only reason Dirk has gone in is to figure out where Richard needs to lie in front of the grass in front of Gerstenberger's window, essentially.
This may be my favourite bit.
Do you wish to know the nature of Gordon Way's intentions towards your girlfriend or not?
There's that manipulation again.
Then I would kindly ask you to prostrate yourself on the grass.
Prostrate yourself. There we go. No way out of it now. I like how they keep repeating the movement as well.
Right, now don't move. Not a single muscle, understood?
What am I doing?
It is very Dirk to not explain.
Here we go. We're going to see Stephen Mangan's reaction to BBCA fans not knowing who he is.
Do you know who I am? Do you know me?
No.
He looks like the ancient alien guy here.
I'm right here!
Oh, God. Like, he also almost changes his mind about what psychosis he's playing out by just going, I'm right here in front of the girl there.
Tell me you know who I am!
Are you a patient?
He doesn't know who I am!
I'm sorry, he just burst.
This is my face!
It's okay.
He actually makes the table shake there. I never noticed that. Because all the glass was, like, rattling for Gerstenberger's dinner.
Names has come and gone and come and gone again. Names no longer matter.
What are you doing?
Don't get my crew! Whoa!
Also, look at the glass pane. You can actually see Stephen Mangan moving around before he's supposed to have revealed himself. There he is. You can tell just because he's made the hair so big for his little performance there. Just a great scene. And that, for me, is him on firing all four cylinders. And there are a couple other scenes where I think he goes too big and it doesn't quite work. But that one definitely does. And there we go. Top it all off. Time to eat.
Free meal. Why wouldn't you?
I also love the actor playing Gerstenberger here. That Jesus, no. The sort of shock that's immediately undermined.
Who the hell are you?
My one.
He just takes the bib with him as well. Of course he does.
Okay. Have a nice day.
Underrated part of Dirk's characterization here is his manic kleptomania. He just keeps stealing things across his series. He never gives his file back, so Gerstenberger's going to notice it's missing. Anything
interesting? There's no reference to any inappropriate feelings toward cats, or indeed any other animals. It would appear any feelings of a sexual nature Gordon Way may have had were exclusively directed towards your girlfriend.
He mentioned Susan? What did it say?
A brief but illuminating extract. The patient is obsessively fixated on a Miss Susan Harmison, with whom he had a relationship at university. The relationship ended in 1994, but the patient remains consumed by overwhelming feelings of loss and regret.
Wait, she went out with Gordon Way? She's never even mentioned him.
No, they met at a hotel last week. I can suggest we adjourn to the pub.
Classic TV driver just stopping in the middle of the road at dramatic revelations there.
TV road rules are very different to the rest of the world.
3.5 pints at lunchtime, Dirk?
We must consider the facts. They have been meeting illicitly. Miss Harmison has lied to you about said liaisons. Gordon Way is a billionaire. Even as a confirmed heterosexual, I'd have to say he's an extremely attractive man.
Oh God. I love how Dirk there needs to emphasize, oh, even as a confirmed heterosexual, I might go gay for Gordon Way.
Yeah, sure, Dirk.
Sounds very like a man very insecure about his sexuality, just trying to reinforce it.
It's so funny, they had to no homo him.
And the funny thing is, there's like a later episode where I'm pretty sure he turns down the love interest. And then there's the one where the love interest turns him down, so.
Your friend said you'd pay for the drinks?
Ah, classic. He's doing the sort of anti-Ford prefect. Instead of paying extra, keep the change, it's like, nah, you pay for it, Richard.
What can I do for you?
Susan Harmison.
Worst scene ever.
This scene. Oh God, no. Get out while you can, Dirk.
Why did they do this? Oh,
2010 was a different time. As I say.
Yeah. It's very 2000s humor. Lingering.
A little bit, yeah. And also, if the genders were reversed here, this scene would be probably... even more, if anything, more uncomfortable.
It would be very bad.
That's the thing with the human body. Everything's connected.
All my sympathy for Susan is about to go out the window. No.
This is such a weird scene. When I rewatch, I just skip it because it's so uncomfortable to watch.
Well, we all have to do it together now. Oh, God. You know, I've watched the sex scenes from The Room, and I think they're a little bit easier to stomach than this, because at least there's really cheesy R&B going through.
Yeah, I know this.
And as much as I love Daniel Pemberton, I think... I actually feel a lot of scenes in this, there's probably a little bit too much music, like, that it's kind of always on. To talk to me about Ruth's cat. Oh, don't turn around.
That she'd hired you. I couldn't believe it was actually you. Well, I take it that that's why you're here.
But also Susan proving to be smarter than, like, anyone else in this thing. Full of patience. I don't have time for your bullshit. But God, at what cost? I was hoping I might
talk to you about... It's a good thing that this sexual harassment gets followed up on later, I guess. That, you know, a scene's bad when even the writers of future episodes go back and call Susan out on that.
They're like, oh yeah, we fucked up.
And that's why... I almost feel like it could have just cut to this scene. We didn't really need the Susan makes Dirk strip to humiliate him scene.
He asked me to marry him.
Marry me?
He's been asking me every couple of years since we left university.
And your response to his heartfelt proposal?
I said what I've always said.
We had our chance. And you blew it.
I like the pen Dirk has here that he's using for his notepad that's got the 4 different colours on it. I've actually got that pen. It's really handy. The night I said I'd meet you,
I should have been. That type of 4-colour pen was my standard go-to for all of high school. I very happily don't use that type of pen anymore.
And this is where we find out that Gordon Way has been given all of the character traits of Richard McDuff. Which is even more weird in hindsight.
It's over. We're finished.
I'll be there.
What is Gordon making there?
Kind of what I was saying before about the episode takes elements from the books, plot elements, character elements, and just blends them into something brand new.
Yeah. And I suppose, again, it's sort of the format that's making him do that, but I think... Rather than doing a really, really rushed version of Detective Agency, I'm kind of glad that they sort of just took a couple of strands, tried to put a lot of familiar elements in there, but used them to tell a new story. But that said, I do sort of prefer the later episodes where they've clearly got a bit more confidence to sort of do a bit more of their own thing, and the book elements plot elements, like Reason, for example, they'll sort of thread it in a bit more of a natural way, whereas here, I think it's a little bit more jarring if you've just read the book. Mm. But like I said, maybe it's sort of designed in mind for people to go back and read the book. By the way, I'm sorry if I sound really weird during all this, because I've obviously got the episode at full volume, so a couple of bits over the dialogue where I'm like trying to listen and speak at the same time, which is very odd for me. I'll get better at this, I promise.
No worries. Also, yeah, I agree with your take on the episode. I prefer the later ones. I said I
wouldn't get another cat when George died. Yeah, I think they had to get past doing a version of the story from the novel, even if it's not the story, it's the elements. And then that gave them the momentum to start doing more original stories.
And also they sort of need an excuse for Richard to come back as sort of the assistant partner as well, which is, I wouldn't say what the story's about, but it's more this, he tricks him during hypnosis later on, and that's how that happens. Oh. I like this bit, this scene is where Dirk is worried that Ruth is going to die before paying him, which unfortunately is exactly what happens from Dirk's point of view. But,
most deliriously happy to hear that, Mrs. Jordan. So may I ask how it was that George came into your life?
Oh, one day he just came running into the house.
Where did you...
Another thing I like about little flashback elements is to make the characters look younger. They just give Dirk and Ruth curlier hair, and they give Richard a wig.
It's one of the charming things, like the bad CGI.
So, when was this that George appeared?
Well, I can probably tell you the date.
May I inquire as to the identity of the gentleman with the bouffant moustache?
Oh, that was my husband, Harry.
I take it he is sadly no longer with us.
I have no idea. He walked out on me soon after that photo.
I find that really funny because my brother is actually called Harry. So when we watched this together last year for the 10th anniversary, I was laughing through this. And also the shade thrown at Tom Selleck there, that's pretty incredible. Another well-known TV detective that Dirk mocks it.
Same date. Susan and Gordon split up.
This is also about the point in the episode where my brother guessed what the twist was, even though he hadn't seen the episode in 10 years with Henry and George, the cats. Next door.
No, I've never seen him before.
That's fun. I watched this episode with a friend of mine who's really into, like, traditional detective stories, and she kept trying to, like, figure out the plot, and I was like, you're not gonna get it. The logic doesn't work here.
Yeah, that's certainly true. It's certainly, you need a certain mindset to sort of, if you're in the sort of prediction game for Dirk Gently, you need to be very much sort of very open mind to all sorts of sci-fi premises. Oh, and he just bags a load of Bourbon cream biscuits there, which again are very, very, I've actually had Bourbon creams. They're pretty nice. Certainly one of the more savory biscuits out there, but chocolate flavored too. So I'm not surprised Dirk is so addicted to him, but there's actually Bourbon creams that make him miss that vital clue, which is Ruth looking at the newspaper and being shocked at seeing Gordon.
Okay, just coffee, like milk and two sugars, coffee?
Again, this is another terrible scene for Richard that I'm trying to speak over.
Have you been talking to Dirk? Are you sleeping with Gordon Way?
Is that what you think of me?
Just answer the bloody question!
I have tried to make you happy. I've tried, I've really tried, but...
I spent the whole show just wishing they would, like, split up.
Yeah.
I need a reason for us to be together.
No, don't.
When Susan is saying stuff like, I need a reason for us to be together, you're sort of thinking, well, there isn't really one, is there? Well, let's undo all the hard work there by blabbing about the email as well.
Please, just go.
Seriously, why didn't they broke?
And the other problem with this is sort of the sort of relationship drama that you can see in like pretty much any rom-com or any sort of sitcom as well. has a plot where a couple splits up because one thinks the other's cheating when they're not, essentially. And
yeah, it's pretty tropey.
Ah, here we go, another great character. And he's been promoted as well, because he was Detective Sergeant in the book, and he worked in the Cambridge Constabulary. Now he's been moved to the Met, and he's a Detective Inspector, which is a higher rank. Think
very carefully before you answer, because if you so much as mention the interconnectedness of all things, I'll have you arrested under the anti-terror laws.
Anti-terror laws are... And if anything, even stricter since 2010 as well. So that's not an empty threat from Jilks.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jason Watkins, by the way. He's perfect casting as Jilks, in my opinion. Right, and now Act 3. And the board is full of nonsense. By the way, if you look at the board, you'll notice it says something like, he writes about the warehouse explosion. He says, "McDuff causes warehouse explosion," which is hilarious because he pressed the key and caused it. The other thing is he crossed out where he spelt McDuff's name wrong. He crosses the whole thing out and just starts again, which I find a hilarious detail.
Oh, you've definitely paid more attention to that than probably anybody else.
Yeah.
They had a brief conversation. Went their separate ways.
But I
oh, he really doesn't like the drink. Or is this Dirk with a hangover here?
I'm led to believe Miss Harmison's repeatedly rejected Gordon Way's advances. She's a keeper, McDuff.
That's interesting. I don't think he's ever shown drinking in the book. He smokes. And here is like kind of reversed, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
McDuff, buck up. Things can't be that bad. I'm single, I'm homeless, I'm unemployed. You're unemployed, really? I'd assumed you were a veterinarian.
I love that. That just assumes out of nothing that Richard is an army vet, and that's why he doesn't do anything all day.
You see, a clinically obese American fails to pay his mortgage, the ripples cross the ocean, and you are cast onto the slack heap of the long-term unemployed.
Is that all that meant to make me feel better?
Are you managing?
Hmm?
I mean...
I don't think Dirk ever drinks again in the rest of the series. Oh, he brings like a bottle at one point for someone he's trying to woo, but he never drinks from it in the end, I don't think.
This is a social drinker. He just likes to have the glass there because it looks good.
So you've been busy?
Most of Stephen Mangan's facial expressions, I think, are just meme-worthy in this sometimes, when he's like implying that he wants to steal Richard's money.
At any given moment, he is implying theft.
I don't know, do I? 1994? I suppose I would have been at university.
Yes?
When a series of highly peculiar events occur surrounding a particular person, we must consider the possibility that this person is in fact the connection. I believe you, McDuff, hold the key to finding Henry the Cat.
Me?
I would suggest you allow me to hypnotize you.
And this is where Dirk tries the manipulation thing, but he can't use the, oh, Susan, you'll lose Susan if you don't do this, because he's already broken up with Susan. So the solution is he just bullies Richard into doing it, which I don't think worked quite as well.
I don't trust hypnosis. You can make me do anything.
Oh, get a grip, McDuff!
He just goes a little bit too big here, in my opinion.
He just goes fully unhinged.
Yeah.
And I'm sex with a watermelon! Are you not at all curious as to the sequence of events that led you to your present Nadia?
How does it all work?
And again, this hypnosis scene is great. It's just they could have had a better way to lead into it. Look at the glass that Dirk's holding here. It disappears between shots.
You are feeling sleepy.
Again, classic effect. That glass is gone. He didn't even put it down.
It's the 5th of December, 1994. What's your most vivid memory from that day?
I'm shouting at someone. It was you, Doc.
I like the implication that this chair Richard is sitting on is the hypnosis chair that he just uses whenever he needs to do this. Everyone was wrong.
Any self-respecting detective would have an hypnosis chair.
Of course, yeah. Or you need to fleece people of money because you don't know how to solve their problems. Gordon kind of should have been looking when he was crossing the road, admittedly. You reversed into
him. Did I? Don't just stand
there, Macduff. Help the man. His fucking hair.
I also like the implication that this sort of thing happens so often to Dirk that he's completely forgotten about running over Gordon.
I think Dirk just has no shame about things like that. He's not one to reflect and feel guilty. It's like, it happened. Can't do anything about it now. Move on.
Yeah, no shame is definitely a character trait.
Yeah, speaking of which, this is him trying to trick him into giving him his redundancy money.
He reversed into him. I believe you can still see the dent of the princess.
Okay, that's funny. The dent is still there in the car 16 years later. Oh. The princess's most loyal companion, and it's got the scars to prove it. Gordon's carrying
flowers to suggest that he was. Unfortunately, it has stuck around. Unfortunately for the car.
I don't know how Dirk figures out that Gordon was carrying flowers, because Richard never mentions the flowers to him. But I assume he just says everything that we see in the flashback just to shorten the scene down, I guess.
Could be, or once he's been reminded, he might remember the incident himself.
Why did nothing change? Something went wrong. Cat appears, her husband disappears.
Do you mind telling me what's going on?
You know, we make a good team, Macduff.
Really?
The way we bounce ideas off one another. We're like a single amorphous organism, but with two brains.
Yeah. Except one brain doesn't want to tell the other brain what's going on.
I've been looking for someone like you. Someone with a raw, natural talent. You should think about coming into business with me.
That's not a bad idea.
I just love the instant follow-up. You should think about coming into business with me, and then just slaps him around the face full on.
Find out if she knows anything about Mrs. Jordan's husband. No, I can't. I accuse her of cheating.
If you are to become my business partner, Macduff, you got to start showing some backbone!
I thought his lack of backbone was the whole reason that Dirk wanted him to be his business partner. But anyway.
Hello?
It's all about having backbone at the right time versus not at the wrong time.
And to be there from a narrative function, him having, especially in the full series when he gets more of a backbone, that does help.
Right? Okay.
Do you know what happened to him? As someone with a mustache, I find that that's very accurate from Dirk.
Look, I'm on my way around to see her. I'll get his call, Dirk. Is that it?
So yeah. Things have been fairly low stakes so far. So this is where they try and inject some, as Dirk says, an indeterminate amount of jeopardy into the episode.
She doesn't know anything. She's on her way around to Ruth's. She's going to get her to call.
She's going to see Mrs. Jordan.
Yeah, what?
I fear Susan may be in grave danger.
But little old Ruth?
Well, perhaps Grave is pushing it. I fear Susan may be in an indeterminate amount of danger.
That's still dangerous.
Indeterminate.
Well, they're trying to raise the stakes, but even they're like, what, this old lady is going to... Nah, probably not. But anyway, let's just make sure.
Raise the stakes, but keep it uncertain.
Also, going back to the case board, I do like sort of the visualizations of Dirk's thought process in this series. Because I feel like that's something that works, that sort of it shows his chaotic thought process, but it doesn't give away the mystery instantly if you're watching it for the first time. And it does reward those sort of repeat viewings, noticing all the little details and little jokes about Dirk's very biased point of view and blaming Richard for things that he did wrong and stuff like that.
I really miss him.
This show has like a high rewatch value, just like for all the references and little things.
Dirk was asking about your husband.
Especially since this is a BBC 4 show that aired once and then was like forgotten about essentially. I think they did repeat the pilot in like early 2011. Few times after it got renewed for the full series, but other than that, yeah, the BBC have like washed their hands of this, and it really only exists on DVDs, which I think is a big shame. I think that's one of the reasons why it's not better known, because it's partly it's the timing that it's like hidden away on like Amazon Prime somewhere, I think, and even then I'm not sure if it's still there.
Yeah, it was hard for me to like actually find this and watch it. I had to go through a totally illegal means to do it, and it was not easy.
I was just saying, going back to Ruth, I love Doreen Mantle's performance when she goes a bit more menacing here, but she's still a lovable old lady, but there's a sense of her sort of really relishing when she does this reveal that's coming up. I don't know what's going on with that picture behind Ruth's door there of just like some red-headed baby or something. I don't know who that's supposed to be.
Why shouldn't I be?
There's also a running gag that I've forgotten about of Richard and Dirk both trying to fit through really narrow doorways. Because here we go, they do it on the way to the school as well earlier on.
Yeah, that feels like the sort of thing they may have been trying to set up as a running joke. I don't know, did they continue with the rest of the series?
Not that I remember. The catchphrase, like, come on, you beautiful bitch, when the princess doesn't start, that definitely stuck, but others are clearly been dropped after this.
Yeah. And that's the point of a pilot. You experiment with these things and some of them work out.
I like how Dirk just cannot decide where he wants to do this speech from in this scene. Nope, not on a counter.
I love Stephen Mangan's just like physical acting as well, like all the micro expressions and the little, like the little movements. They're all so on point.
Just sitting on the chair wrong and nearly falling over. I'm not sure if that's almost certainly scripted, but he plays it like it isn't.
Gordon Wei is hurrying
to meet his then girlfriend, Miss Harmison, when he is unfortunately prevented from reaching his destination
because Dirk reversed his car into him.
Another shot of Darren Boyd's beautiful wig there.
Devastating blow from which Gordon never fully recovered. So he set about building a time machine. In the warehouse next door. Myself and Macduff stumbled across it and the time machine was no more.
Well, you're leaving out an important detail with it, which is you exploded it.
I like the way that Dirk announces time machine and expects everybody to go like, oh yeah, of course, that makes sense now.
That's us rewatching. We totally buy Dirk, but I think first time you watch this, you're definitely with Susan, Richard and in this.
We had our chance and you blew it. It's too late. You were actually insane, aren't you?
Am I?
Well, he is, but this is still true.
Yes.
For unrelated reasons, yes.
Yes.
Sequence initiated.
But Gordon wasn't alone in the warehouse. He had company. Henry.
As much as this is the more grounded series, there's still stuff like this in it, which I think works fine.
Really says something when the more grounded adaptation has like time travel, robots, and what give you.
Indeed I do, Mrs. Jordan. And I believe time travel must be terrifying and disorientating, particularly for a cat.
Well, Dirk would know, because he time travelled in Reg Granotis' office or whatever, so...
Yes.
He headed for somewhere he felt safe. He ran home.
Oh, this is cute. Like, this is actually sweet.
Yeah, it is.
You think that was Henry?
That is until you renamed him George.
It was the same cat.
Dirk, this isn't funny. I was making it up.
Oh, they were so alike. Their mannerisms in every way. They were the same cat.
I do love how they contrast Ruth's genuine love for her cat with her relationship with her husband and what happened we're about to see in a moment.
Henry was born in 2007 and he died in 2006. He had 14 happy years in between. Henry's under the rosebush in the back garden, exactly where you buried him.
I couldn't bear the thought of him after this.
It's like a sweet moment that's about to get destroyed. I can't tell you how
much this means to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Gently.
You are so welcome. I believe you'll find the bill for my services distressing you, Mod.
I love how he slides that envelope, like he's been preparing that all episode.
He's such a dick.
Let me find my checkbook.
I'm curious about one thing, Mrs. Jordan. What caused you to murder your husband?
I don't know how Dirk thought the response to this question would go.
He was an abusive, unpleasant bastard, Mr. Gently. And on this particular occasion, he was an abusive, unpleasant bastard to George, or should I call him Henry, whichever he was. He was mean to my cat.
Come here, you little shit. Yeah. Probably crawling with fleas, yeah.
Don't you dare hurt him! Let him go, Harry! Let him go!
Yeah, how dare you hold him nonchalantly, Harry. There you go. You get one between the face.
I thought it was implying that he was gonna, like, throw the cat out of the house, but I don't know.
Throw it in the bin or something, yeah. I feel a bit sorry for Gordon here as well, because this plan, if he just moved on, his plan would probably have worked, but he's such a good person, he thinks, I got time, I can help this innocent-looking old lady.
Yeah.
And then he gets the frying pan. Is he? Somehow a more embarrassing death for Gordon than the one he gets in the book.
Yeah, it's worse.
You showed me the photograph of Gordon Way in the newspaper.
I like how she's just like, yeah, I killed him. Completely matter of fact, once she's confronted with it, and Susan's reaction was like, wait, what? Dirk got something right? Is everything correct?
That's the reasonable reaction, I feel.
Yeah. Dirk knew he wouldn't get rewarded. He just wanted to clear that up because he was just so curious.
Dirk wants to be right.
I doubt anybody would believe it. You can't prove any of this. And besides, all of you will soon be dead.
Nonchalantly there.
Paracetamol, sleeping pills, and beta blockers. Extremely lethal, I would imagine.
Oh, my God.
Well, you would imagine, but you haven't done it, Ruth. You're lying.
Seeing out my days in prison.
We need to get to a hospital.
She just lets them go. That's so funny.
Well, of course she lets them go, because this is obviously Ruth deciding to escape going to prison, like she said, as we find out. But it's probably good that we don't see the suicide, to be fair. I think it helps with the tone of this.
They're also three, at this point, still healthy. There's no way that she'd be able to stop them from letting him. She wouldn't be able to stop them from leaving.
Yeah.
That's the wording I want.
Yeah, and just like that, relationship solved.
With a death threat.
No laughing matter, Jilts! A devious, evil bitch! That's who did it!
You could just imagine Jilts relishing getting that news from Dirk.
This is such a funny scene.
Ah, you know, it's hard these days to find a free bed in the NHS with all the waiting lists, you know. I'm surprised they got in so quickly. Oh.
We've completed a full range of tox screens. We couldn't find any trace of any drugs of any kind. Why did you think he'd been poisoned?
Yeah, we were setting up all this IV equipment. Several families died. Because they couldn't get on the waiting list, Dirk. Oh, well. I also love, I'm not sure if this is a reference, but look at that. He lifts his hand up to the officer as if he's about to show something. It reminds me of the bit in Tea Time where he shows up late to the murder scene and he has this well-rehearsed routine with like a library card or something that he like practices just pretending it's authentication on the weekends when there's nothing better to do. He just practices doing that in the mirror.
Rings a bell, yeah.
Not as in, we weren't in fact poisoned.
Well, it's clearly an overdose. Do you want to tell me why she might want to take her own life?
She just ate all the bourbon creams. It wasn't an overdose.
Whatever her reasons were, I was not privy to them.
You did this. You told her that Henry wasn't coming back. He was all she had to live for.
I believe I told her Henry was already back.
That is crap. You know it.
Who's Henry?
Oh, he was her cat.
She was lonely and vulnerable, and you exploited her, you heartless shit.
My explanation of events made to you seem...
Why is there so much slapping in this episode?
Yeah. I mean, Dirk got a few slaps on Richard. Susan gets one on Dirk.
Did the deceased by any chance leave a check for me?
Get out.
Have you looked?
Right. Out.
Okay.
It's like, okay, she's dead, but do I get paid?
That's very Dirk.
It sounds a little bit left field, yeah. But... I'm excited.
It's interesting because when that happens in Tea Time, Dirk was actually pretty like guilt-ridden and stuff. Like, you know, client died, he still got paid somewhat, but he still like feels pretty bad about it.
Yeah, well, in that instance, Dirk is feels indirectly responsible. It's like he was told to show up on time and he didn't, and his client died. Whereas here, Ruth kind of took her own life in her own hands, essentially.
Yeah.
We know Richard's got his life together, by the way, because he's wearing a suit now.
You can tell he's doing better because he's wearing a suit.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying anymore. It's your money. I'm going next door to something.
You know, the hypnosis is not that strong if it only takes one conversation for Richard to realise that Dirk has fleeced him. And B, his relationship with Susan is not that strong if he didn't think to tell her beforehand.
Is Dirk there? Yeah.
What do you mean he's out the country?
Good old Wonder Mash box. That's how you know it's Ruth's, because it's old.
Gordon, it's Susan. You were on the news.
They said you were missing. What are you doing at the warehouse at the end of my street?
Just let me know you're okay. Call me.
I like the little thing that happens here where Susan is starting to doubt, oh, maybe Dirk was telling the truth or not. And what seals the deal is when she looks at the newspaper and sees East 17, the boy band from 94 that was riding high in the charts. Oh no, East 17, yep. It must be true. Also, this emotional moment is also severely undercut by replaying Gordon comedically being bonked on the head, complete with sound effect as well. This song by E17 is actually pretty dark as well. Apparently it's about suicide. Stay another day.
Well.
Well, the lyrics are pretty bleak.
I'm just impressed that she was able to turn the phone on and it instantly worked.
Yeah, the battery life in 2010, a lot better than now.
At that point being a... Yeah, it's like, when was it last charged?
Also, I love this as well. This isn't the Bahamas, this is just made to look like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, look, I've changed my mind about investing in the agency. I want my money back.
I'm afraid that won't be possible on account that the money is no longer in my possession.
Well, none of it.
It must be Barbados. Listen to that music.
Yeah.
A most intriguing case, Macduff. I have plotted and triangulated the vectors of all the various events and occurrences and traced them to a 5-star hotel in Barbados.
Google Map Zoom.
And that's not Barbados either. That's,
Yeah, that's Cuba.
Yeah, that's Hispaniola, which is 1,000 miles west. So whoever typed it into Google Maps got it wrong.
Holy shit. I was like, wait, why are they zooming out of fucking Cuba? Geography.
There we go then. So 13 years on then.
Holy shit.
Wow. is it as good or as bad as I remember? I don't know. But but certainly it led to a great series with Drone Joy. Yeah.
It's one of those episodes where you watch it and there's a real feeling of potential there. Like, and we know that some of that potential paid off in the following episodes that they made. But watching that, if they hadn't made anything more, I think we'd be watching it going like, they could have done something good with that, but it could have also done something terrible with it. So, yeah, we got on the good timeline for that one.
Yeah, on the whole, even though, you know, it was still disappointing we only got 4 episodes in total. But, yeah, it's good that Stephen Mangan wasn't the Dirk that could have been. And also, I don't think this would have been a satisfying ending. Dirk just gets off to Barbados and spends all of Richard's money. That would have been a really unsatisfying end.
Yeah. But again, it has that feeling of elements from the book just blended up and turned into a new story. Because in the book, Dirk goes to Barbados or West Indies and that's charged to whatever client in the story. I think that's just a... we only hear about that in a telephone call in the story, in the book.
Lou, you got any last thoughts before we end? Because it's been good to have you, by the way.
Thank you. I've seen this episode less time ago. Like, I obviously didn't see this in 2010. I watched it in 2020, and it's still kind of fresh in my mind. But yeah, it's pretty solid, I think. Like, besides the weird bits, like, a really solid pilot. It's fun. I love the little mannerisms, and I love how rewatchable it is. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Nick.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go into the 2012 series as well and talk about those episodes with you guys in a bit more detail. But thanks, Nemo. Thanks, Lou, for joining me. And thank you to you as well for listening. And hopefully we've recorded this, put it together, and it makes some sort of sense. And that you got a little bit more out of the episode.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't necessarily know going in beforehand. But anyway, tune in next time when we do... I Want to Invade Switzerland, which is my name for the first episode of the fall 2012 Dirt Gently BBC 4 series, with Steve Mangan and Darren Boyd returning once more. So bye for now, and see you then.
See yous.